Never forget.
Never again.
Oh, man.
You have a good week?
It was all right. What about you?
My daughter is now a black belt in karate.
Way to go, Claire.
I had to get her hands registered as lethal weapons. I actually had a friend say that to me. I was pretty gullible. And still am, I guess. When I lived in California, a buddy of mine calls me on the phone. He's like, dude, I just left the police station. I'm like, why? And he goes, well, when you get your black belt, you have to get certified lethal weapon. I was like, holy shit, is that real? And he's like, no, you idiot.
I actually believed you for a second. I don't know. I don't know anything about the martial arts. If you tell me that she has to get her hands registered, I'll believe you.
Exactly.
Even if she is 8. Could you imagine?
I think what's funny, I did hit record, so I don't know if we can start, but is like the people, like when I used to tell my people like that my kids were taking martial arts, the amount of like mockery I would get from certain people, like it really, I don't know if people are just assholes or they're trying to be funny, but I mean, I've had people like, that's fucking stupid.
Why in the world would anyone mock you out for that? I don't understand that.
I didn't either. I never insult like anyone my whole life. Like I remember a good friend of ours, Frawley, when he started taking karate back in the day. You know, we'd joke with him and call him like Frawley's son and all that shit. Like, But I mean, I was like very respectful of it. I'm like, yeah, fucking A, do it.
Frawley's hands are registered with the FBI.
Trust me, I've wrestled that little Ivan Putski man a few times.
He's a badass.
Very strong.
But I mean, you know, it just makes no sense to me. You figure you enroll your kids in something like that, and they learn discipline and commitment. And I mean, just things that are all they could learn are positives. Why? And isn't that what you want in a kid's life? I mean, it just makes no sense to me.
I mean,
why are people assholes?
We taped a lot of the stuff yesterday, but the thing I got the most out of it is just like the sense of community. There's a bunch of people there. There were people hugging, getting emotional. My wife got emotional. The woman who runs the dojo, I mean, she's been doing it. She's probably a little younger than me, but she's been doing this her whole life, you know? And she would never do anything else with her life except run this karate school. She's amazing at it.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but great things to say. It changes these little kids' lives, especially the ones that come in that might have discipline issues or they have anger issues or just maybe they don't fit in, whatever. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing but positive that I can take away from it.
I played soccer when I lived in Albany for all those many, many, many years. Played soccer with this guy from South Korea. And he was like a 1,000,000th degree black belt. And he ran a dojo. And he was absolutely beloved in the community that he lived in. Because he made like such an impact on the lives of literally thousands of kids. And he was a great guy. He was such a badass. This is no lie. South Korea used to bring him back to the country to lead the security when there were like major government protests, even though this is not North Korea.
Right.
But you know, this is South Korea, but he was such a badass. And there were a lot of times on the field where opposing players did not know this guy's background. And, you know, the games would get kind of rough and they're like fights would break out and stuff. And, you know, I played goalie, so I was always, and I was always sit, I would always sit back and think, this is not the guy you want to mess with.
Yeah.
And he always, you know, refrained from retaliating. He, oh, because he knew he could kill people.
Right.
But one day this guy did something to him, and my teammate, who I'm talking about, he didn't lose his cool, but it was the first time, and probably he had over 1,000 opportunities to respond. This was the first time he ever responded, and he knew exactly what he was doing, but he jumped up in the air and then did like, you know, he turned his body completely around, like you see in the martial arts movies, delivered a roundhouse kick, but purposely came probably a half an inch away from this guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just, I mean, the look on this dude's face, you know, he must have crapped his pants. It was the most amazing thing I ever saw in my life.
Yeah, there's a feeling you get when you may have bitten off more than you could chew.
Yeah.
I remember, not equal in story, but kind of the same result. I used to work with this kid, guy, Walt. He was about 6'4", black guy, played football for University of New Hampshire. Was just an amazing athlete, and he used to do MMA too. Okay. Me and him and this other guy we drove into Manhattan to go to some bars, and he was driving. Anyway, we try to get this parking spot, and these other guys start yelling. They said, oh, that's our spot. We had it first. And the one guy's like, we're going to kick your fucking asses. I get out of the car, and I'm like, okay, sure. Then all of a sudden, Walt gets out of the car, and they all just look at him and fucking run away. I was just like, I like hanging out with you.
By the way, this guy that I'm talking about who ran the dojo, in wake of 9/11, he was deported.
Huh.
I can't remember the exact reason why. I can't remember all the details. It had something to do with mixed up paperwork from his lawyer, but whatever. But again, he had made such a profound impact in the lives of like thousands of kids that when he got and his school was well known, when he got deported, it got a lot of media attention, and he was so beloved that the community for more than a year rallied on his behalf with petitions and things like that to bring him back to America, because he had just married a woman, you know, from Albany, and adopted her kids. And like, they were like 5 weeks into their marriage, and he ended up getting deported. He was deported for 2 years. But when they brought him back, I mean, the welcoming he got at the airport, which was covered by the local media, was just, it was amazing. So yeah, that martial arts just makes such a huge difference in the lives of kids. Why would you mock any parent out for that?
I mean, I just think people make fun of shit.
People are assholes.
Well, you know, obviously now that I'm a parent for 14 years, I know everything. but there is a huge divide between people that don't have kids and people that do. And like, when you get older and you've never had children, I'm not prescribing children for everybody. Obviously, not everyone's meant to be a fucking parent, especially some people who are parents. But I mean, they're just like, it just gives you a perspective on life that if you never have a kid, you'll never get. You can pretend to get it. You can say, I get it by proxy. I don't know.
You know, it's funny. When I have less and less and less of an opinion on how to parent kids the longer and longer and longer I'm a parent, you know, I mean, it's, I know what works for my kids, but I don't know what works for your kids. It's not like in my long career, I was only a manager for like 2.5 years, and I did not like managing people. But the one thing I realized when you manage people is you can't manage everybody the same. You have to manage people you have to manage your staff according to each individual's personality, you know, and abilities and limitations and things like that.
Yep.
And it's kind of the same way with parenting. So I don't, you know, it's so arrogant and presumptuous to give your advice or tell another parent what to do. You know, they don't want to hear it anyway.
Oh, exactly. No, I don't tell anybody what to do. And when people compliment my kids, which happens enough, more than I ever thought it would. I immediately deflect to like the things in life that I've exposed them to. I mean, they got to go to a Montessori school, which again, I kind of made fun of before I knew what they were all about. So I can chalk myself up to being, you know, a nut or a dummy from that point of view. But until you experience it and you understand it, you know, it's easy to kind of make fun of shit you don't understand. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I look to the karate and I'm like, well, because I put my kids in these places where the same types of behavior are reinforced and encouraged. Not, you know, like we grew up, I won't speak too much for you, but I kind of know, but we grew up with, we knew what was bad because we did it a lot, but our good behavior wasn't necessarily always encouraged. And again, maybe sometimes it was, but often it wasn't. And I think, you know, it was the more you step out of line, this is what's going to happen. Whereas I don't really do that with my kids. In fact, I say shit to my son, like if he does something, let's just say he does something bad or stupid, which isn't often, but I go, don't do that again, because that's going to cause me to have to think of some diabolical way to fuck you up. And I'm too lazy to want to do that. So yeah. That's a kind of parenting I use with him. I'm like, don't make me be a dick to you, because that's just not going to work for either one of us. That seems to be working, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Hey, let's dive into this topic, man. We've got a meaty one today for everyone. You know, I came across a story that prompted me. I want to talk about like the idea that we're living in some kind of, I don't want to call it a police state, but let's just say a surveillance state. And it's just increasingly, especially with the internet and all the devices and shit we have today. But is it slowly, you know, my question and what I want to just kick around, I guess, is like, what is happening to our world where, again, good, bad, weird, we're constantly being watched, whether we like it or not. And I'll kick it off with this story I read about these Apple's being sued by these women. They have this product called an AirTag, which sounds good, again, on paper, because it's got a utility. You click it to your keys or your purse or something else, so you never lose it, because the AirTag will pop up on a screen or on your phone and go, oh, yeah, you left your keys out in the car, dummy. But what happens is now we have these stalkers who will, like, put the AirTag in a woman's purse, and then he'll follow, you know, he'll wait till she gets home. Then he knows where her house is, and then he'll go to her house and do something nefarious. Whatnot.
Jesus, how sick are people to think that, to think of that, you know?
Isn't that fucked up?
It is fucked up.
And it seems like no matter what we invent, they're always invented with, like, you know, I was telling my wife, I'm like, you know, when Facebook and MySpace first came out, like, I thought they were. But then I thought, well, it's a cool way. Like, if I want to share a picture of, like, I went to a restaurant and it was really good, I can put that, you know, on my Facebook. And now other people are like, oh, that's cool, I can go to this restaurant and check it out. Because, you know, like something so pure and innocent, it just gets so fucked up because of bad actors, is a term I've heard you use a few times. And I like
that. I mean, for everything that's invented that, you know, has a positive, society will.
Well, like,
find a way to make
somebody hit negative. Like someone hit my neighbor's mailbox the other day, and they have the Ring camera on their door. So they're like, oh, here's the truck, here's the company. We gotcha. Because of course the guy either didn't know he did it, which could happen, but he drove away, and you know, there's a $500 fix now that you know. I mean, how many times have you been in a parking lot and your car gets dinged, or you know, your side view mirror gets broken? I mean, you just think of all that shit. But like, all that being said, they're just increasingly more and more ways that we're being watched.
Yeah.
And I remember doing a presentation when Cisco had, oops, strike that, this company I worked for, we had kind of a sales tool where it's like a virtual mall. Like if you walked into a mall, you would start getting ads for like what's on sale at the mall, or if there's a special at the food court, or if there's a sale at Macy's. And I thought, well, that's cool, but you know, I'll turn it into kind of a joke. I was looking up about 6 months ago. There's a meme stock called, you know, Best Buy, right? You know what Best Buy is.
Yeah.
But their stock ticker is BBBY, and I inadvertently typed in BBBW, and I got all these ads for big, beautiful women. And I was getting them for a while after, like, plus-size women lingerie, you know. And then, you know, ended up 3 months later, I'm on every porn site looking at big, beautiful women. developed into an addiction.
Yeah, I mean, everything seems cynical and intrusive and or creepy. You know, I'm a big Buffalo Sabres fan, and so, you know, I literally never miss a Sabres game, and they play 82 a year, but they started showing the NHL on the TNT network, and I have streaming services. I don't have a cable provider, so I don't get the TNT network. And the Sabres have...
Wait, so you still have analog TV in your house with, like, rabbit ears and shit?
No. I have, like, services like Fubo and, you know...
Oh, okay.
You know, so I don't have a cable provider.
You don't have cable, but you have internet.
I have Wi-Fi, yeah. But I just have streaming services. So I don't get the TNT network. In order to get the TNT network, I have to buy Sling, which would cost me $60 a month. If I bought that, it wouldn't... I wouldn't have access to 78 of the 82 games. So I, you know, there's no reason for me to buy it, but there's a website I can go on, and I could play my laptop over my television.
Right.
And so there's a website that I can get every NHL game on the planet. I could get every pro league, like Russia, Switzerland on this website. So when the Sabres play, there's a bunch of links you can pick from. And there's like, let's say there's 12 links, and you can't really make sense of anything that they're tagged by. It's kind of like a guessing game.
Mm-hmm.
But usually 10 of those 12 links take you to these like porn sites, you know? And it's just so like, it's so fun. Who thinks of infiltrating this hockey website? And this stuff is like from porn from Czechoslovakia or Russia. And it's just so, you know, so it pops up and you kill it immediately. But like, who knows what it implants on your laptop, you know?
And interesting you say that.
I just always wonder, like, who are these people that, you know, the internet is just something that was created and it had endless possibilities. And, you know, now that we're 20 years into it or so, it just seems like the majority of it is used for like just negative, creepy shit.
What I find fascinating is, you know, when you do the math, most people aren't sexual deviants. We're not criminals. You know, we're not bad actors, again, to use the phrase I heard from you. But yeah, it's like a reverse 80-20 rule, because anytime I go on the internet, like I'm worried about my kids. But kind of to your point, go on Instagram, my favorite medium for fighting with people. And I get like, first off, I have a private profile to let you in to view my pictures and stuff. But secondly, I get pinged all the time by these women who want to show me their breasts, who I'm pretty sure aren't even the women who own those said breasts. Yeah. And they're constantly, hello, dear, how are you? I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. Where are you?
And I'm yeah, just like, everything on, there are so many hackers on Instagram.
But it's just so weird. And I, like, you know, I'm like, I'll immediately go, can you send me $1,000? Because, you know, it reminds me of, what was that movie? It's not Midnight Cowboy. The one with John Voight where he goes to New York City and he like has sex with an old lady and then she hits him up for money, but he was going to hit her up for money.
That's Midnight Cowboy, isn't it?
Urban Cowboy?
Midnight Cowboy.
I thought Midnight Cowboy is the one. What's the one where the guy's in a Turkish prison?
That's Midnight Run.
No, that's not. That's the one with Charles Grodin. Somebody help
I know.
Us.
No, Midnight Cowboy is, I don't know. Who gives a shit?
I don't know. But it's just like, that's why I thought of that movie. I'm like, oh, I'll hit them up for money first. Before they try to get money.
Well, on Instagram, apparently the portal in for hackers is if you post to your stories. Uh-huh. And not just, instead of, you know, you can post photos or you can post stories. And apparently you get hacked through your stories.
Oh,
so
I don't do that. I only do photos.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But I don't get hacked. I just get like, I guess they're catfishing me or phishing me because they come in through the little instant message client. And they'll be like, hello, love.
The technology I have a big problem with is a lot of police departments and I think the state police they have these license plate scanners. Ooh. And they have cameras set up like on roads, you know how like, you can put road signs over the highway.
Green ones, yeah.
Yeah, and or else the police can sit on the side or the middle of the road and they can scan, they scan license plates.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're looking for whatever they're looking for. People with, you know, people with warrants or, you know, APBs, you know, people
well,
looking.
Stolen
you know,
cars look, too, right?
Right, right. And... You know, I could see where that might be helpful to them, but it's just so invasive.
Yeah, I got one better than that. So TSA is piloting facial recognition software.
Yeah, now this is the stuff I don't understand. Because there is a huge controversy around facial recognition.
Yeah. It has it. Go ahead. And I feel like American software companies, I don't know if it's Microsoft, have worked with them to develop this software. So, I mean, these are the things that are just going to happen. You know,
what's your position on the facial recognition?
Well, I don't commit crimes, so I personally don't care. But I think of that famous line, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. You know, I think about the the world of Big Brother. And, you know, the Orwellian dystopian, use your own word. Like all that fear of being controlled by the globalist state, or what if QAnon gets the technology first, or what whatever organization the smoking man from from the X-Files. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, we should be concerned with our civil liberties, but at the same time, when people object to, you know, programs and systems and technology like this, you often hear, like, if you're following these arguments on the internet, you often see people say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, there's nothing to worry about. But the implication there is, like, you should just accept what's happening. And again, you know, I mean, there's an intrusiveness to this. I was just right before we came on, I was watching the morning news, and there's a new program some company is piloting in Buffalo. And it's this GPS system that's supposed to help police track shootings and gunfire. Mm-hmm. And the GPS is operated through sound. So they're putting GPS like trackers that are triggered by sound on the roofs of buildings. And then when there's a gunshot, you know, it's like a ping.
Yep.
And so it'll help police. But there's in the communities that are where these systems are being targeted, you know, there's residents, law-abiding residents, who are concerned that this is just even more surveillance on their individual neighborhoods, you know. And I feel for those people, because one argument is, well, that's where the crime is. But there's a lot of law-abiding citizens who are in these neighborhoods who are there for socioeconomic reasons. And why should their lives be surveilled 3 times more than mine? You know, there's an inherent unfairness to this stuff.
Well, you know, my kids pointed this out to me, but I noticed during COVID, a lot of these fake cell tower Christmas tree things, do they have those in Buffalo? They're everywhere here. They're painted green, so they look like trees, but they're really just cell towers that are spying on us. You can't tell me you don't have them in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, they were like, when I lived in the Adirondacks, they were popular because cell towers, you know, being installed in the Adirondacks were controversial. So the company said, well, we'll make it look like an evergreen. We'll make it look like a Christmas tree, you know? And they never do. They look like Frankenstein trees, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, the point I'm making is that, you know, the stuff is everywhere. And, you know, and then I remember when Alexa first came out, my wife and I looked at each other. I'm like, you're going to put something like that in your house so then you can get surveilled? And then I read about this new software called Pegasus. And I don't know a ton about it, but it loads itself onto your phone. And it can turn on the camera and the audio, and it can listen to you. So if I had it, I could put it on your phone, turn it on when I felt like it, and I'm instantly surveilling where you are, what you're saying, who you're with. I mean, if it's in your pocket, I guess the video is not going to be too good. But I'm saying, you should check that out. It's called Pegasus. But it's like spyware. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line is this stuff is all around us, right? Siri, Alexa. Yeah. Well, even TikTok, they're trying to get that off all the phones in the United States, right? Because they think it's China surveilling the United States now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm really freaked out by the fact that you're being listened to by your phone, even if you're not on, like, the internet, but you're talking about a product or something to a friend or a family member. And then the next time you go on Facebook, there's ads for that product. And it's because your phone was listening to you.
Yeah,
that is really creepy.
But if it's plus size women's lingerie, not necessarily a bad thing.
That is just creepy, creepy, creepy shit. Well, I mean, you know, this has increased dramatically with the advent of the internet and emerging technologies. But, and I think I mentioned this before, like 20 something years ago, I remember when I was a journalist, I did a story on New York State on how they would just sell your personal information to direct mail companies and other companies who used it, you know, for marketing purposes. And this wasn't even technology. It was just like your personal information and your address and things like that. Yep. You know, this is in the late 90s, and the state was at the time, it was making the state $50 million a year. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's creepy. So much of this is like, well, we're coming up with this to protect you, or you know, these technologies will protect you, when really what they're doing is exposing you and opening you up to surveillance. And
remember back in the day, you had to, people had to pay to not be in the phone book. They were just going to publish your name and address and your phone number in the yellow pages, and you had to pay extra to be unlisted.
Yeah. It's crazy that I could remember I had reached a level of outrage about 15, 16 years ago with some of this stuff. And they started installing these cameras on the New York State thruway over certain points in the thruway. And there were cameras on my route home every night. There was where they were placed. I had to go through like three of them. And I could remember every time I drove by them, I would give them the finger. And I always thought, like, I really hope there's some guy monitoring the camera, and then he sees me like every day at the same time. Like, oh, there's that crazy fucker giving me the finger. But that should just outrage me, man. Even like the Easy Pass.
You know? I loved Easy Pass, but yeah, to your point, you're getting
it's a way of surveilling you.
You're getting surveilled. If anything, on the plus side, and I don't know if statistics show it, I suppose if you want to show it, it would. But I mean, if I was thinking about a life of crime, I sure as hell wouldn't want to do it now. It just seems like it's way too easy to get caught. Yet you hear about these people getting away with shit all the time.
Well, yeah, and in some weird way, the criminals now are ballsier because there are cameras everywhere. You know, I often wonder if they plan for that or if they're not aware of that. My guess is they're not aware of it. But like, we didn't grow up with cameras all over the place. We didn't grow up with the ability to take photos of everything that happened, you know? I mean, it's just, it's, in a way, you would think society would become safer just out of the fact that there are all these surveillance systems and cameras, and it just seems inevitable that you're going to get caught. But yet, bad shit keeps happening, so, you know?
I don't know, but it wouldn't be our podcast if we didn't talk about some kind of conspiracy theory. I did read that. So 5G, right, was supposed to be the new standard for cell phones or internet stuff, high speed, yada, yada. And I don't know if it's QAnon or one of the other famous groups. A conspiracy theory started up that 5G was spreading COVID or some shit like this. And again, you can correct me if you know more. But the whole point of me bringing up is the outrage became so much that in the UK, people started like ripping down and trying to burn down cell towers that had 5G.
I increasingly hear about 5G and all of its, you know, all the evilness attached to it. I don't really understand it. I'm not like a tech guy to begin with. But no matter what's, whether you're a far right person, a far left person, just a crazy person,
letter.
Every group, every side has an issue with 5G. And I have, you know,
didn't even know that.
And I have a cousin who is a little bit touched, and she's convinced that QAnon is listening to her through the 5G technology.
God. Well, they don't need that.
And I find it both sad and fascinating.
Well, you know, you can rig a TV to listen, and there's cameras on a TV to watch you too. I heard that theory back in the day, and I've never ripped apart one of my televisions to see if there's a spying device on it, but you know I worked at a company where once video, you know, became a little more pervasive, like you would get reprimanded if you weren't on the video chat. And I mean, it's a slippery slope. We're all sliding down every day. And
well, it's funny. It's funny because, you know, the only real time that I can recall Americans rising up over this stuff was during COVID, you know, and the anger directed at Fauci and the government, and they're all trying to control you. And it was kind of an interesting time. It was when I sat back and thought about it, you know, I mean, it was such a strange time for me because I believed in like trying to control the virus. And at the same time, I could understand a lot of the anger that was out there about, you know, being told what to do. You know, I didn't agree with all of it. I thought some of it was crazy, but, you know, it was a tough time for people. But the one thing that struck me was, you know, the government is in your shit, has been in your shit for decades before this. And no one said a word. And it's all through this technology and surveillance, you know, and like, you know, everyone just accepted it then, you know, but now that, you know, you're being told to wear a mask, people are losing their shit, you know, and I don't know. I'm going to speak for myself. You know, I hated all the government edicts during COVID, but I understood, you know, for me, I approached it as, all right, this is a huge fucking inconvenience, but I don't want to be a dick and I don't want to threaten the health of people who have pre-existing conditions or whatever. So, you know, out of my concern for the fellow man, I'll abide by some of these, you know, because it was for the greater good, in my opinion.
Yep.
But, you know, the minute people were inconvenienced, they rebelled. And it was just such an irony to me because, you know, we're all being controlled and watched to some extent, and we have been. And, you know, no one has said boo about it. You know, I mean, you hear about it here and there, but not in the way that you saw during COVID. And this Big Brother shit has been going on for so long, but yep, people just acted like it started with COVID. You know, people still want Fauci dead.
I think as long as there's a trade-off in the trade-off, you know, there's just like a, I'm going to use my term of invisible hand. Like it's a perception and then reality. But like, here's what I mean. When the lockdown first occurred, I think a lot of people accepted it. They're like, okay, I'm down. And I remember, like, you know, probably first few months, it was almost kind of cool. It was like everyone got a vacation. And I think it kept extending and getting longer and longer, you just had people at the ends, you know, especially people that like on the fringes of society, like the poor people or people right. that are like, I'm going to lose my apartment. I'm going to lose my house. I can't pay my bills. You know, I mean, you just, and I just think it increasingly grew. And that's where you had your bad actors going, death to Fauci or kill Orange Man or whatever. I mean, nobody's a reason to want to kill him, but
there were definitely policies that so far overstepped the right that government had to implement these policies. And, you know, the government forbidding you to go see a loved one in a nursing home. I thought that was criminal. You know, it was cruel in so many ways. These senior citizens being cut off from their family when really in a lot of cases it's that connection that kept them alive.
Yep.
You know, and the cruelty, you know, for the cruelty that people had to endure, not going to being able to see their mother, their father. You know, I know someone locally who their father was in Canada dying of a terminal brain tumor, and they were forbidden to go see him, and the guy ended up dying, you know, and it's like, you know, I mean, it was cruel. And there were other policies that were clearly meant to protect public health. And again, you're talking public health. So, which were reasonable, in my opinion. But then there were policies like the Cuomo administration telling you can't invite more than 8 people of your family over for Thanksgiving. Like, fuck you. Like, you know, I mean, I think the problem during COVID was people felt, okay, the door is open, you know, and government just keeps opening that door more and more and more and more. And that's, you know, I do think overall, when you talk about everything from the COVID policies to the technology, the surveillance technology, to the shit that creeps up on your Facebook page, we have, as a society, ceded way too much of our civil liberties to the government and companies, private companies. So in a way,
it seems to be going that way for sure.
Yeah, but so I guess my point is, in a way, a lot of this is our fault.
Yeah, well,
I don't know, but what's the answer?
Well, there is no answer other than shit is just going to keep going the way it's going. But I mean, I brought up that whole cell tower thing because at the end of the day, the masses can always get their pitchforks and burn shit, which is what we see. You know, it's like the lowest common denominator. So your
suggestion is, if we wanted to do something like this, we start with the cell towers, which kind of makes sense.
I mean, to me, I kind of like it because, again, I don't think like a criminal. My crimes against humanity were stealing beer from my neighbors and other stupid, childish things.
Yeah.
There's another thing that there's some kind of hand sensor that you can put in buses and I guess cars or any kind of. So if you've been drinking, you got to put your hand to this sensor and it can tell if you're drunk or not and it won't turn the car on. I mean, there's the breathing ones that we've had for a while too.
Right.
And I've never had one and I've not seen one in real life. I've only seen them on TV, but that's got to be, you know, I knew a guy that had 2 DUIs up in New Jersey and he hired some college kid to drive him around to all his meetings. So I guess there's always ways around the system.
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff happens in the name of progress, you know, and bringing moving society forward. But I stop and I think, like, society existed pretty well without all this shit, you know. A lot of these companies make you think that you need them in your life. Like, you know, I know so many people who are so enslaved to Apple and their products. Mm-hmm. That when Apple announces it's coming out with a new phone or something like that, these people are on the internet, you know, holding their place for 8, 9, 10 hours until 3 a.m. to get that new phone. Like, we don't.
What about the people that wait in line overnight, like outside, and they camp out like they're getting Led Zeppelin concert tickets or some shit?
Right, you know, exactly.
For a new fucking phone, dude.
And that like underscores my point that ultimately we're responsible. We're the ones responsible.
Yeah, but people don't like responsibility.
What's that?
People want freedom, right? They say, "Oh, give us our freedom," but all that really brings you is the idea that you have to be responsible for yourself. Like, I actually look forward to, as much as I love driving and have my entire life, I look forward to the day where I can just go hop in my car and go, you know, take me to the strip club, and I can sit back in the back seat of my car and, like, you know, play a video game while my car drives me to wherever I'm going.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
mean, a key component, though, to the concept of freedom is responsibility.
Yeah,
you know?
People don't like it.
I know. If you want freedom, you have to exercise those freedoms responsibly. But, you know.
Yeah, but like, think about when cars were introduced and you had to build roads, right? Think of all the people that were like, fuck that. I got a horse. I don't need no stupid car. You know, I don't want to go ride a horse right now. I've ridden a horse a couple times, not that into it. And I don't know if you're into horseback riding, but it's kind of a pain in the ass. You know what I mean? So, well, I'm just using an analogy. Like, every time you bring out new technology, you know, there's people that still want to float around in blimps, right? Oh, the humanity.
I don't know.
You can't stop it. It's like saying, I like being the age I'm at. I don't want to fucking get older. I mean, there's one way to stop that. But I'm saying the shit is here and it's not going away. And nobody wants to give up power. I think my idea always becomes more and more beautiful in my head, that government people should be selected like you do for jury duty. Like, I don't know if you could get a certification to be in government. Maybe you could take it at a community college, but you put your hat in the ring saying, yeah, I'll sign up to be city council, fucking mayor of my local town, some other kind of government official. But these people spending zillions of dollars to get elected is just farcical. And the more I pay attention to politics, the more that just becomes so god darn clear in my head. Whereas if it was done like a lottery system, me and you could just say, all right, we have college degrees, we're smart people, or we're at least competent in some fashion. And you check the box, like, I'll sign up to be a government official, and then, oh, Jerry, you were selected to be a senator. Then I just go do it for a couple of years and serve my time like jury duty. I know it's stupid, like, and it would never work. But, I mean, it would. You look at the system we have now, it's fucking ridiculous. The people, I mean, you almost had Herschel Walker being a senator. You brought that up last week. And, he's a nice guy. I don't want to fucking make fun of him. But is he a qualified? I guess. I mean, what's the qualification, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, back in the day, you know, I mean, serving in government was similar to what you're talking about. It was, you know, public service, and people would serve for 2, 3, 4 years, and then they would go back home and go work on their farm again. But it was never meant to be, you know, people like Mitch McConnell or Chuck Schumer making a 40-year career out of it. And, you know, and it's just. So it brings up the issue of term limits. It brings up the issue of publicly financed campaigns. It's, you know, but you know, the thing is, there are solutions to all of this shit, but the people who could employ those solutions just want to pass it. It's easier for them to pass it off. And here's like, have you ever used those paper straws? They're fucking up.
They are awful.
Know? And you know, we all have to use paper straws now because the plastic straws are killing turtles, you know, which is just such fucking horseshit. The percentage of that happening is such fucking crap. I've even heard in people, environmentalists and people who are like, you know, wildlife people, talk about what bullshit this is. But you know, my son was saying, and he had a point, he's like, you know, if they were really serious, because there's all these other regulations and laws that get passed because of the evils of plastic,
sure,
and my son is like, the easy solution to all of this is to just stop making plastic.
Yeah,
but they will never do that because it's easier for them and it makes them look like they're doing something if they pass these laws. But these laws are really put on the onus of the public and the consumer.
Yeah.
You know, so there's solutions to everything. But collectively, we just don't have the will, whether it's the government or whether it's, you know, private companies.
Like a path of least resistance.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So rather than just no longer making plastic, we got to drink out of fucking straws that fall apart, you know, and taste like fucking shit on your mouth.
I don't have an answer for that one, but I think we're running up against our time limit here, big dog.
All right.
My takeaway is that you might as well just embrace it.
My takeaway is that
Big Brother is not George Orwell. It's not Orwellian, as people love to say. I did a little reading on that. It's very different. But at the same time, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But at the same time, technology is going to keep advancing. There are certain things that, you know, it's like that serenity prayer. Accept what you can't change and change what you can't accept. I know. Be smart enough to know the difference, which I don't think any of us are.
It's funny because my takeaway was going to be that George Orwell was right, but you would disagree.
I don't know if I disagree. I'm open to anything. See, that's just me. I think ultimately he was worried about anyone or group that is too tied to an ideology in the long term. If you match ideology with power, it corrupts and it gets bad. I think was the message I took from Orwellian.
Yeah.
Well, I did read Animal Farm.
Well, I think in a way that's right, because as we talked about last week, the ideologues in each party have now hijacked our main political parties. You know, you can call them a minority, but they're the ones who control the parties now and appeal to the voters. And so the ideologues are in control now and we are being watched and we are, you know, being surveilled and recorded and everything else. So it's, and we're letting it happen because, you know, we got to watch the football game today.
Stay free.
Stay free, my brother.
All right. Go Bills. Have a good one, buddy.
Bye.